Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our podcast, Austin on the Air. Today, we have a really special guest that's joining us. We have with us Shamar John Charles. He's a cornerback for the Green Bay Packers, drafted in 2021, round five. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Round five. From Appalachian State University. So welcome, Shamar. Glad to have you.
Appreciate y'all having me. Yeah, excited to be here.
Good. So if you want to start, maybe just tell our listeners what you've been up to in the off season, what you're doing lately.
Yeah, so this off season, you know, just back to the regular grind, working out. Usually spend my off seasons back home in Miami, South Florida, Broward County area.
Okay.
And I train at Bomberitos, spot down there in Bomberitos. But my off season's been going real good, you know, just trying to vacay a little bit. I've been to Mexico so far this off season, and a couple of different states, Arizona, Vegas. But outside of that, you know, it's just been a decent off season so far.
Nice. Wow, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
There you go. So this podcast, just to give our listeners a little bit of backstory, is, you know, we started this series in May for Mental Health Month, and it's gotten a lot of attention and popularity. So we're continuing it on for a little while. And what I found interesting, I guess, and unique about you and having you on the show, you know, is that you were drafted in 2021. So, I mean, that means that you essentially played your last year college ball, 2020, right? And then you had to make that like totally new transition in 2021. So maybe if you want to start, just kind of talk to me a little bit about, you know, first, what was that like in 2020 finishing up? And you know, here you are, you're trying to go pro, and you've got this pandemic thing happening. You know, from a mental health standpoint too, I imagine that was a lot, right?
Yeah. You know, 2020 affected it, not just me, but everybody. You know, it was a setback for everybody. But just weirdly throughout that time, that entire offseason going into which was my fifth year, my senior year. And when, you know, that's kind of the time when COVID came out of nowhere. And that's when we got the news that, you know, that a lot of us weren't returning to campus at the time. So we had extra time at the house or wherever we were from in our hometowns. And just throughout that time, you know, like I said, it was a shock to everybody, but I took that time and utilized it. You know, I took advantage of a lot of the free time that we got. You know, fortunate for me, I was around a lot of good people. I have like a mentor / big brother figure named Travell Dixon. He's a retired. He played in the NFL for a couple of years. He's retired now. He resides down there in Florida right now. And, you know, I was around him, met him through another trainer of mine, and me and him connected. And, you know, he had me around, you know, guys in the league during that entire COVID leave when everybody was off and stuff. So I was around a lot of guys that were currently playing in the NFL at the time, and, you know, training with them and just seeing what it was and what it took to be a pro. And mind you, I'm doing all of this while in college.
Yeah.
So it was just good for me just to be around those guys every day. And I took that approach into my senior year, going to App State. And, you know, I was able to have a real good season on the field. Mentally though, you know, I had to find my way.
Yeah,
it's a lot. I had to find my way. So just like everybody else, you know, I had to find what worked for me. I'm a big reader. So, you know, throughout the pandemic and everything, you know, especially while quarantining and stuff, you know, I picked up books and like I have a big collection now. So I picked up the habit of reading a little bit, and I like it. And I found out like it's something I really enjoy doing. So, you know, that's something that I did personally throughout the pandemic to keep my mental in place.
Yeah. It's nice that you had that support, you know, during that time. You were able to use that time like productively. I feel like a lot of people at that time didn't even know what productively meant, you know, because they were, you know, so that's kudos to you for being able to to see that and make it work positively. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about, you know, then you made that transition, you know, they had the draft, and it's 2021. So really, I mean, COVID is still very much a thing at that point, mm-hmm. right? I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were kind of even debating then in 2021, whether or not to even do a rookie camp in person. So what were the challenges that you faced then afterwards, after the draft? You know, you're coming into this quote new playing field, kind of navigated the college COVID thing, you know, but now you're there, you're finally there, but all these other things were happening. Just talk to me a little bit about, you know, from a mental health standpoint, what that was like and how you were able to stay focused and positive.
Yeah, so just throughout that entire time, it was crazy. Like I said, I had a pretty good senior year on the field and was able to get drafted by the Green Bay Packers. And just them alone is crazy, you know, just coming to the Packers and being drafted to the Packers. Everybody knows the Packers. Like it's a known brand. Like it's a known brand around the world. And I seen that last year when we played abroad and we had our game in London. And I seen how many fans were, you know, Green Bay fans out there. And yeah, so just for me coming from App State, you know, it was a big jump. You know, it's a big playing field. You're in the same building as guys like Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. So it's like these are guys you see on TV. So just being in the building with them was crazy, you know, especially coming from App State too, you know. So smaller school for the most part, you know, we're growing, we're making those strides now, especially with the national recognition. But like for the most part, you know, it's app. So just coming from there, it was a big jump for me. And it was kind of crazy because, like you said, you know, we were still kind of dealing with COVID too. So, you know, we actually didn't know we were, like you said, we're coming in. And fortunately, you know, things died down a little bit by the time I came. And it was time for us to report or whatnot. So we were able to come in. But even coming in was crazy because we had to get COVID tested every day. So we had to go through the tents before we had to come inside the stadium. And it was mandatory, you know. So we're doing this every single day of my rookie year. And, you know, it was crazy going into year two last year, not having to do it. So it was kind of weird.
Like a breather, but strange.
It was a breather, but it was kind of weird because we were so used to, you know, being 6 feet apart and, you know, having meetings and like our indoor and stuff like that. So that's what I was used to. So it was kind of different, I would say, going into year two when we didn't have to do all these things necessarily and kind of getting the real, I would say, rookie taste. Yeah. And just like the groove on how things are supposed to be, I would say. So, you know, it was a big jump. It was a big jump.
So talk to me like a little bit about coping strategies. I heard that at one point you could bench press 225 pounds 19 times. So, you know, is that something that like you would throw yourself into like as a coping strategy? I mean, is training and that kind of thing part of how you cope? And what are some other ways that, what other strategies that you have that kind of get you through these like really heavy times?
Yeah, for sure. So just to comment on that, I don't know if I could do that again. That 19 times. I mean,
we still got to talk about it. I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell my kids about that someday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're not a linebacker.
I don't know if I still got that in me, you know, but
you know, as I'm an outsider looking at that, I'm thinking, okay, this guy's not a linebacker and he did that. He accomplished that. So like there's something behind that that's motivating that, you know? And so, you know, part of your go-to.
I would say, especially throughout that time, I took training very, very, very serious. I didn't party. I didn't go out throughout that time. Before the season started, during the quarantine era, I would say, like I said, I was very, like, focused. Mind you, I was still in college, too, so I could have easily went out and did whatnot. But for the most part, you know, I just had that self-motivation. I would say I'm not really a big party guy anyways. So just going out is not really my thing. For the most part, after the games, I like to come home and chill. So same with practice. So, you know, it was kind of easy for me to just lock in on what I wanted and the goals that I set for myself. And, you know, that self-talk is real big, and I'm real big on that too. And, you know, those positive affirmations every day is just something that I kept with me. And I remember my purpose and my why. And I didn't want anything, you know, to distract me, I would say, throughout this time period. So I took training very, very serious, and it was fun for me. The process was fun. I enjoyed, you know, the process. You know, I was one thing that, you know, just being around those vets, they kind of kept me level headed because, you know, I wasn't necessarily thinking about what was going to happen next, but just, you know, just staying in the moment. They were real big on, you know, just taking every day and getting 100% and more out of myself every single day, like not worrying about tomorrow. And I took that approach every single day, whether that was practice or the games. And, you know, going into training and working out and being able to, you know, put up numbers like 19 reps, especially at 182 pounds, like you don't really see that. So it's just something that I had inside of me, I would say, just a lot of self-motivation and just focusing on what I wanted to get done.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what are some other things like now currently, you know, you've made that transition and, you know, now it's your job and this is a high pressure industry, you know, what are some things that you try? You still with the same daily affirmations? Are there other things you've worked into that routine since you've, you know, started with Green Bay?
Yeah. So, you know, even in the league, people believe that, you know, just because you make it to the NFL that, you know, that all your life problems just completely end. You know, a lot of people believe that, but I think they kind of forget
that. Probably start then, right?
Yeah, like life continues. Like, we're people too, you know. We have a crazy job, but we're people too. So life issues still hit us the same way. So, you know, I have my ups and downs, you know, and I feel comfortable admitting that. You know, I'm real big on just being real. So I've had my ups and downs. Has the process been easy? No. I've actually started talking to our team psychiatrist, Dr. Carr. And, you know, this is something that I've never done before. Like, I've never talked to anybody or, like, told anybody, like, my problems, I would say. It was just something that I never was really comfortable doing. So I found him, and, you know, he's
awesome.
He's been a big help. He's been a big help. And I tell anybody nowadays, it's crazy. I'm like, man, talk to somebody. Like, regardless how you feel, like, you're never too cool, you're never too macho, just talk to somebody. Trust me. Like, even if it doesn't have to be a certified doctor, just find somebody that you're comfortable talking to, because it's good to let certain things out, you know, and not hold things in. And that was real big. And, you know, just dealing with, you know, everything of being a rookie and life, you know, dealing with people back home and stuff like that, and just different transitions and stuff that comes with being at this level, it wears on you, you know, especially if you're not used to it. Like, you don't have anybody else around you like that that's there with you. Like, you're on your own now. You're in Green Bay. You're away from everybody. Everybody's home in Florida, you know.
And you basically made that one of the biggest transitions during one of the craziest times.
So it's like, it's a lot going on. And, you know, one thing that helped me too, I'm not really a big social media person like that. So, you know, just being away from my phone and just not falling for, like, seeing what the next person has going on all the time is something that, you know, I'm so, so grateful for being comfortable, and just something in my DNA is just, that's just not me. So I guess it kind of helped me in a way, just like, because, you know, you get caught up with everything, seeing what the next person has going on, and, you know, just the habit of always picking up your phone. So something, things like that, you know, is something that I've never really gravitated to, fortunately, you know. And if that is your thing, that is your thing. But for me, I felt like it helped me because, you know, I just wasn't around as much of all that, and I was just focused on what I was doing. So,
And that probably is where a lot of your focus came from.
I was able to focus up. My mom calls me a grandpa, so, you know, I'm real.
That's good. Your mom could call you worse things, right?
Yeah, for real.
That's funny. Well, I mean, that you brought up a really good point about talking to somebody and seeking help. And I think, you know, we've come a long way when it comes to, you know, the stigma that's associated with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Especially I feel like, you know, with men, for whatever yeah. reason, there's that additional layer, you know, because men are held to this, you know, stronger ideology, right? And so mm-hmm. I think that that's huge. What do you think are some other things that maybe can be done to help break that stigma or to help people understand that, you know, this isn't a weakness, but actually a way to gain strength?
Yeah, I would say, for one thing, if I had to put it together, if you see it working for somebody else, I feel like a lot of times that'll motivate some people to say, okay, especially if it's somebody that you know and that's somebody that you're close to.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing this, and I feel like for me, I might not be the most verbal guy, but you know, I feel like a lot of people follow. It. Yeah, so just talking about it a little bit and just, you know, like I said, just telling people that it's okay, you know, encouraging yeah. people to try it. Just try it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have at least 5-10 minutes. You could spare 5 minutes, if that, 10 minutes, you know, just to talk to somebody. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, you know, just finding different ways to cope with your mental, things that are productive at the end of the day. Because, you know, it's easy to find things that are negatively affect you, perspective speaking. So I feel like just, it all depends on the person. Inside of you, there has to be something inside of you that motivates you to want better for yourself at the end of the day. And a lot of the times, it's easier for some people to find that than others. So if you're around other people that are, you know, like myself, not afraid to encourage, you know, talking to somebody and just being about mental health, then I feel like that'll help. So
yeah, that's awesome. It kind of leads me to, you know, another thing when we're talking about, you know, the idea of mental health. I think we, you know, because it is something that's mental, you know, we tend to focus a lot just on that aspect of it and the emotional side, but really, you know, there's so much data and science out there that says physical things affect your mental health too. So like when you're an unhealthy person, sometimes you're going to have mental health issues that result from that. Maybe, I don't know, what are some things that obviously you're an elite athlete, so this is right up your alley, right? You're constantly every day focused on your physical health as well. Do you see that too? Like when you're maybe slipping a little bit and you're not as in perfect condition, you're off your routine maybe. Does that affect your mental health or just how you're feeling that time?
1,000%, yes. You know, especially being a pro athlete, I feel like at least a lot of us, we have like set schedules every day. So we used to, you know, everything is mapped out, you know. So me for myself, like, I'm real big on my body and just being, like you said, just being in shape and eating the right things for the most part. I mess up from time to time, but yeah. Hey, I'm human. Yeah. So just like
making sure you're doing what your body needs and not adding.
Yeah. So like when you have a set schedule every day, it's like when you steer away from that, you can feel it. Me personally, it's like when I'm not doing something, like inside of my head, I'm like, man, Sherman, like it's time to get up. Like, hey, it's time to get up. Then I could feel it personally. Like, you know, I start thinking about things and then I start thinking about, man, I should have got up, you know, if I waste the whole day not doing anything. So,
yeah.
And it can lead to other things, you know, and now you fill your mind with nothing but just, I guess, negativity at the end of the day for some of us.
Yeah.
I definitely encourage people, you know, just getting active a little bit. You know, we're in a computer age, so a lot of people, we work from home, which is fine, which is beautiful. You know, I want to one day work from home,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I could be on my own schedule and everything. But I definitely encourage, you know, just a couple minutes of getting active. You don't have to walk outside necessarily, but do some calisthenics inside the house and just watch how that does numbers for your mental. What you eat, what you put in your body is real big too. Yeah. So what you eat.
And we always talk about the environment that you live in, you know, with clean air, that's kind of our thing, you know, breathing dirty air, you're going to feel yucky, right? You're going to, it's not going to work for you. Sleep, I imagine sleep's a big component of yours.
Sleep is huge. Sleep is huge. And I got to do better with that. So yeah. Sleep is huge. Man. Same. So, yeah. So if you get your sleep, overall, you're in a better mood starting off your day. You're well rested. I feel like you have a little bit more energy. What you eat is important. You just feel better, you know, and it just overall just is better for you. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, that's all I had. And I'm so grateful that you took the time to come on today, especially, you know, talking about the fact that you yourself have sought out help and how it's benefited you. I really appreciate that. Was there anything that you wanted to add maybe that I didn't touch on or talk about that you think is important for people to know?
I just want to piggyback on what we were talking about, and just for anybody who's listening, anybody who's tuned in, anybody who sees this video, just understand that, you know, mental health doesn't just get solved in one day. It's an everyday process. And you're human, so you got to understand that everybody is different. There's no two identical, I should say, brains and the way people function. Everybody is unique in their own way. So everybody's process is just a little bit different. So it takes a little bit more time, takes other methods compared to the next person. But, you know, if you're very serious, I feel like I'm a real big believer in it has to start from within. It's real big. Like, something inside of you has to want better for yourself. That's where it has to start. And I feel like that allows you to let other people in when you're ready to, you know, make that jump for yourself and just take the right steps. You know, don't be afraid to talk to people. You know, it might sound kind of, you know, cliche or not, but, you know, eat the right things, get active. Like, these are things that it's proven that it helps, you know. And if you're the type of person who says, well, I don't like doing those things, well, try it, you know.
Be curious.
I have a tattoo on me that says be curious, not judgmental. So, you know, like, why not? You know, just take a shot, 2 minutes, try something, you know, and just see how you feel.
And these are basic things.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basic things that human people need. It's not like, you know, and I think you touched on a really, I think, important thing when you're saying that people are human and everybody's process is different. And, you know, I really admire what you said about the social media component, because I think a lot of times people jump on social media and it ends up being this comparison, like, oh, well, I got to be and I got to do like that. And, you know, and what you said was key, that everybody's unique, their process is unique, and just kind of giving yourself some slack there.
Flip the perspective. If you can, just try to flip the perspective. Don't see it as a hassle, but see it as something that's, you know, you're getting better and better to a destination you want to get to at the end of the day. So
awesome.
Yeah,
that's a good ending point right there. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you. All
right. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.